views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
The truth is funny. With Colette Steffen, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Steffen.
Today, your guest host, Phil Free, is here. Phil has been using energy work since 1998. He continues to apply these techniques every day to facilitate improvement for himself, family, friends, and clients. You can tune in and benefit from it, too. Here's your guest host, Phil Free.
Hi, welcome to The Truth is Funny. This is Phil Free. Welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm filling in for Colette today. Stay tuned for the next hour to experience the instant relief of using your intuition to solve life's most challenging problems. Shift happens every Wednesday at 8 a.m. live on the airwaves and in the archives at thetruthisfunny.com, transformationtalkradio.com, and at transformationradio.fm. And the energetic shifts are still accessible through the Higher Self Network if you're listening later. We will be talking about all kinds of things, feel free to call in. If you're listening, 1-800-930-2819. It's 1-800-930-2819. And we will shift your challenges into possibilities. Please call in. I have my brother here on the line, Michael Deliage. And we're going to continue talking about energy work as well as psychological awareness. He's been into psychology for the last couple of years, and we've talked a lot about it on the show, and we're going to do some of that today, and I'll talk about energy work as well. Feel free to call in if you want any issues shifted or changed, improved, or if you want to know more about your personality. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show. How are you?
I am not bad. We're going to get right into it then. Basically, we like to combine energy awareness and energy and psychological awareness on the show when we come on together. And we notice that just becoming more aware of self in general in various ways is helpful. For me, I found personally that it helps speed up my energy shifts. Because I can quickly pinpoint things, or I know how to ask or direct questions and things of that nature. What have been some of the advantages that you've gained, let's say, by learning this psychology, and what are the recent insights that you've had lately?
Thanks for having me on. So one of the things about the Enneagram is that it's really kind of honed in on someone's personality in terms of how they process information, and it's helped me help navigate with couples that might kind of come to a decision process, and I have different decision processes, so knowing their number and then knowing their letters really helped me communicate how the other one came about to making that decision. So that's one of the many ways.
Right. Cool. Yeah. And I know that you're constantly studying this. So, I mean, has there been any recent discoveries or insights that you've made?
Yeah, I would say that a lot of times, especially when working with couples, it seems that the differences between the differences are, I think, sometimes too often just chalked up to, you know, it's a difference between men and women. But sometimes it's actually a non-man-woman issue more than just a number and also a letter difference dynamic. So and I think that kind of helps us give deeper understanding.
Right. So we were talking about some of this together last night, and basically we were talking about how there are a lot of stereotypes in society. And if I were to play devil's advocate for a moment, one might say that when it comes to these letters, and for those who don't know them, they might be ESTJ or INFP or any combination thereof. And if you've listened to the show in the past, you know what we're talking about. If you don't know what we're talking about, you can go to the internet, look at Myers-Briggs, and look at what these letters stand for. If I were to play devil's advocate for a moment, in a stereotypical fashion, maybe that ESTJ might be considered very male letters as far as their stereotypes are concerned. But I know that you've done a lot of research as far as the numbers in terms of percentages in the society. And if you don't mind sharing where you got those numbers and then what the numbers are, I think everybody would be interested in knowing, you know, how it actually stands out between women and men in terms of percentages with these letters, and that it maybe does or doesn't fit the stereotype I just mentioned. Hi, Michael, you still there? Seem to have a bad connection with Michael, so we'll see if he sound gets fixed, or if whatever the problem is gets fixed really soon here. But I still can't hear him as of now. So basically, I'll answer a little bit of the question as I know, because we did talk about some of this already last night. But basically, he when he does get back on, and hopefully it'll be soon, he'll lay out these percentages that'll show that for men, there'll be a certain percentage of extroverts, and there'll be a certain percentage of introverts. And then he'll give you the percentages with women as well. And then he'll give you the percentage for thinkers and feelers. And then basically you're going to see that that's probably the one that has the biggest disparity. And that's the one that maybe the stereotype is most reinforced is with the thinker and feeler one. And he'll give you the exact numbers if we can get it back on the line. Sorry for the technical difficulties we're having. But basically, with the thinker and feeler thing, as you alluded to earlier, I think it's something along the line of 56% for males that are thinkers. He'll correct me if I'm wrong when he comes back on. I'm sorry for this happening. Same time, what that's showing, the point behind that, or one of the points, there's many points, but one of them is that even though we have a majority of males basically who are thinkers, and that does maybe fit the classic stereotype, it's not a huge majority for one, and it's only, like I said, about 56%, and that means that there's a huge percentage of males who are feelers, and there's a huge percentage of females also, which I don't remember the exact number there, but who are thinkers.
Hello.
And so what he was alluding to, my brother, earlier about thinkers and feelers, is that a lot of times a thinker and a feeler will have a very different way of operating. I think we have them back on. So why don't you talk about these thinkers and feelers that I'm just talking about? I'm talking about thinkers and feelers here. Will you give the percentages first for the thinkers and feelers?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes,
okay,
I can.
Great. Yeah.
To have those percentages for the men and women with the thinkers and feelers?
Yes, I just heard you. Yes. So for women, the percentages are 75.5% of women are feelers, and 24.5% are thinkers. And for men, 56.5% are thinkers, and 43.5% of men are feelers. And this is according to CareerPlanner.com. which is a very good website and company that does a lot of coaching and counseling, and has a lot of tools in terms of the Myers-Briggs, and they publish a lot of data, and they've been used by lots of different companies and individuals and various institutions.
Right. Can you repeat one more time the name of that, where you got the numbers? Because it was cutting out a little bit when you said.
Oh, of course. CareerPlanner.com.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so basically, I know we had a little technical glitch, but basically I would like you to go through the other ones, the other letters as well for the men and women. What percentages do we have for the introverts and extroverts for men and women?
So for the women, we have a, there's a slight majority of women have a preference for extroversion, and that 52.6% of women are extroverts, while 47.4% of women are introverts. While men, it's similar numbers that flipped around. So about 54% of men have a preference for introversion, and 46% of men have a preference for extroversion.
Mm-hmm. How about if we move along to the sensors and intuitives? What are the percentages telling us there?
Interesting that in that one, there's a majority, both men and women are sensors, but there's even a larger majority for women that are sensors. Women tend to be sensors at 74.8%, and they're intuitive at 25.2%, and men tend to, men are sensors at 7%, and men are intuitive at 28.2%.
Again, we had a little break in the audio. Can you repeat the numbers again for the men?
Yes, for the men, tend, in terms of sensors, are at 71.8%, and in terms of intuitive, are at 28.2%.
Okay, great. We don't have too much time before a break, but before we get to break, can you also tell us about the P and the J, the last letter of any Myers-Briggs?
In terms of for women, so 56.2% of women are judgers, and 43.8% of women are perceivers. And for men, it is 52% of men are judgers, and 48% of men are perceivers.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, so there you go. I mean, that may fit what you have thought, or it may be completely different than what people thought who are listening. And it's interesting to break down. And, of course, you know, perhaps other institutions will find different numbers. So everyone's welcome to do their own research. But those are very interesting numbers. And we are going to hit a break here. So you're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Phil Free, filling in for Colette today. When we return, we'll continue with my brother, Michael. And we'll make some more shift happen. Feel free to call in 1-800-930-2819.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst?
Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan, the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Like the branches of a tree, universal knowledge, insight, and wisdom must be weaved together to bring forward to others. If you live in the Western Washington area, you will want to make the trip to Auburn and visit the new Alchemy of the Goddesses Center. Now open and offering healing sessions, classes, crystals, books, oils, and more. Find out more about the center. Visit alchemyofthegoddesses.com. That's alchemyofthegoddesses.com.
We are back on The Truth is Funny. I am Phil Free, filling in for Colette today. I have my brother Michael Deliage with me here. And before we continue, can you share your contact information with our audience?
Yes, of course. So the best way to reach me is via email at m_deleage@yahoo.com.
Great, thanks. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, the best way is to also reach me via email at whatphil@hotmail.com, whatphil@hotmail.com. Put in the title, Truth is Funny, or something along those lines, or Truth is Funny, and whatever else you want to add to that. I'll get back to you. So, yeah, we were talking about the percentages about about extroverts, introverts, about sensors, intuitives, thinkers, feelers, judgers, perceivers, when it came to men and women. So you spit out all the percentages before the break there, and I was wondering if you had any observations or conclusions that you draw or wanted to mention.
Yeah, especially for all the new listeners too, I wanted to say that, again, we're talking about preferences as a whole, so when we say someone's a feeler, doesn't mean they don't think, and it doesn't mean that people who are thinkers aren't feelers. So a lot of times I think that's kind of misunderstood. It's more of like preference, like what, you know, are you more comfortable with your right or your left hand? So I think it's one of the first things I kind of wanted to just bring up. I think often people are just worried about being put in a box, but it's more about having a deeper understanding of like where people are coming from and like where they're gathering their information. How they go about their day.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I would second that discovering things about our personality is not about putting us in a box. It's about helping us grow, really. So when we know what our strengths and weaknesses are, you know, we can definitely work on our weaknesses, improve them. And, somebody who may be a strong introvert can learn a lot of extroverted qualities or the other way around. And become imperceptible to most people, whether they're extrovert or introvert. So, and the same thing with the other numbers. And I was going to say that, you know, transition to the energy work as well, that a lot of people may or may not understand why we connect these two things. For me, like I said earlier in the show, it helps me speed up my process to understand this. If for example, when I'm dealing with a certain personality type, there's certain questions to ask first. If I know I'm dealing with an extrovert, I know that they may have certain issues or questions that I'll ask or test for the weakness, if you like, or the imbalance, if you like. And if it's an introvert, I may ask other questions first. Now, doesn't mean just because they're an introvert and extrovert, they're going to have that issue. But it's a good place to start, and it speeds up the process for me to ask the most relevant question first rather than be guessing with my questions and tuning into the specific issue. So that's one of the ways it helps me. And another way I was going to share that it helps me is helps me manage situations, relationships, people. And I'm in a situation where I employ others. And for example, we're going to shift over to the Enneagram here and using these numbers. And the Enneagram uses a number system with 9 personality types from 1 to 9. And knowing some information about this, it's helped me manage my crew better, if you'd like, because I can quickly identify, in most cases, what their personality type is. And I had an experience recently where, or if you, maybe a year ago or so, or maybe started over a year ago, but as I learned this information, I saw some of the problems and I was able to change the situation. In my case, I had a 4 personality type. For anybody who doesn't know that, what that means, they can look up Enneagram type 4. And I had another worker who was a 6 type. And I'd pair them up sometimes to do projects. And the 6 being the ES and the 4 being the IN. They had very, very different outlooks and ways of going about things, ways of communicating. And they would butt heads a lot, and it would slow down work and obviously cost me money. And it was wasting, you know, everybody's time and energy. So I didn't want to let go of either of them, but I just learned to, like, oh, I'm going to separate them. I can have them work on separate projects. Obviously, not every business has the luxury of putting people in different positions or jobs or whatever. But in this case, I did, and they worked out well. And now they don't have to make business decisions together, work decisions together. They could just socialize together when they see each other. And now the relationship seems to be much better. And I get a lot more out of both of them than when I had them paired up. Any comments on that story? Any stories that are similar on your end, Michael?
Yeah. One story that comes to mind a lot is when I talk to couples and when there's a difference of extroversion, introversion. Like, there's this couple I was thinking of, she being an extrovert and he being an introvert. It's they'd both come home from work, and she'd want to, being an extrovert, want to talk about her day, and she's a 6-7, by the way, and she'd want to right away, like she was energized and was just happy to see him and want to share about her day, while he was happy to see her too, but his first instinct was just to go to a separate room, kind of just read on his own, use that time to recharge, and then go interact and share about his day. But so you would see that kind of fine balance where one would want to talk right coming out of when they came in the door, and the other person needed time to kind of process their day. And sometimes you would see struggle because one would seem as antisocial and one would seem like, oh man, oh wow, this person's like coming at me right when I come in the door and I just want to sit in and relax. So knowing the numbers and the letters helps you kind of like really qualify those differences for people and help the people see the other person's point of view.
Right, definitely. And yeah, we talked, and you know, when we do talk, we share a lot of stories about people. And we share stories about people we know, relatives, friends, and talk about what we notice, and not in a malicious way, of course, but in a way that helps us give us insight into maybe why they do what they do, how to manage them, how to talk more effectively with them, how to get through to certain people that we haven't been able to get through to perhaps in the past, and things of that nature. One of the things we also do is for fun, really, we sometimes will look at movies or sitcoms that we like, or ones that we watched a lot as children, and stuff of that nature, and look at a character and look at their personality type. Is there anyone that you want to talk about?
Yeah, one that one actor that really fits his role really well is Mark Hamill from Star Wars. I would say the actor himself is an INFP, and he plays Luke Skywalker, the main character from Star Wars, and Luke's character would also be an INFP too. So, and we kind of see that when he's acting, really, he just seems like such a natural fit. So it's interesting to observe such things.
Yeah, that is interesting, and we do like to talk about that. And we don't, you know, work for any of those companies, and we're not trying to plug that movie or anything in particular. But I know a lot of people know it, so we thought we'd use that as an example. But basically, yeah, we do like to talk about that from time to time, and it's interesting looking at characters. Sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe that's the difference between a good movie or sitcom and one that isn't, is when the characters have a realistic personality, and it's not flawed. When you look at the Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram, like, oh, they show characteristics of like 4 or 5 or 6 different things, and it seems just very inconsistent sometimes with some movies, but other times they really nail somebody's personality, and to me it makes it more realistic. What would you say?
Yeah, I completely agree. It helps you relate to the character, and it's interesting how, like, you might relate to one character, and then a friend might relate to another character, and then, like, and then based on further observations you realize, oh yeah, you know, this character probably has a similar number than I do, and hence, you know, has the same strengths, but also tends to have the same struggles than I do. So I really think it helps with the relatability of of a movie or even a book you're reading.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so once again, I just want to reinforce, though, even though that we are learning about personality types and, you know, what type we each are, whether it's the numbers or the letters, that once we know, and that it gives us a direction to grow. And certainly that's how I've used it in my life. And as I've learned about my strengths and weaknesses, I've been able to accentuate the strengths and lessen the weaknesses. And there are certain things about myself that have changed a lot, I feel, in the last couple of years, just by knowing the psychological knowledge and being able to combine it with my energy work. How about you?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. It's given me greater understand of myself, how do I best function and go about my day, interact with people, and it's really helped me also for, like, I, you know, got married a few years ago, and knowing that has really helped me interact with my in-laws, understand where they're coming from. So this type of stuff can be really helpful for all types of people you interact, whether it's work, family, friends. It's definitely worth it if you take the time.
Great. Well, we're about to hit a break, so you're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back. Take your calls if you guys want to call in. The number is 1-800-930-2819.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Hi, this is Phil Free. You're listening to The Truth is Funny. I'm here with Michael Deliage, and we're discussing energy work as well as psychological knowledge. We have a caller here, so we're going to take our first caller. Carter, would you put her on, please?
Yeah, Janet from Canada. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks. I was listening to this, and it's quite interesting. My question was, I found an old Briers-Miggs test that I did probably 20 or 30 years ago. And I just wondered whether things change over the years. Back then, I was an INFJ.
Uh-huh. Well, definitely things can change over the years. But, Michael, what's your comment on that?
Yeah, I think a lot, it seems that a lot of the research says that like you can go through different phases of life and that you will relate to more of a letter. I mean, it seems that our core base, there's that core in us that's always there in us. So for example, if you've always had a preference, let's say for intuition, that's a very prevalent one for that. That means that they'll always, you'll always in situations, if need be, fall back in a way, but as you just kind of like grow and have deeper self-understanding, there's other letters, or you might be approaching life from a more balanced perspective, and so those certain letters are starting to just pop up more as you just kind of discover more about yourself. So reporting as having a different result is definitely common.
Cool.
Does that answer your question, Janet? Any other questions about yourself or about this in general?
Sure, if there's any insight that you can give me on where I am now or...
sure.
Or if you have any other callers.
No, well, it's fine. Sure, we'll give you some insights here. Basically, have you retaken the test in recent times or not?
No, not at all. And this was just a mini one. So, you know, I don't know
right.
Whether a detailed questionnaire would have been different than a short one.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, that's okay. Well, I would definitely encourage you to take the test again and see if you got the same result as before or not. At the same time, it would take a little bit of time to go through letter by letter. At the same time, the one that jumps out at me is the sensor and intuitive thing. Maybe Michael, ask her one of those questions and see how she answers that one.
Yeah, I'll just ask you a kind of more either-or question, if you don't mind, and maybe it could help give you a stronger feeling of which one comes to you more naturally, if that's fine.
Certainly.
So I'm going to read just a couple of statements. So one says, I'm interested in doing things that are new and different. I like to see the big picture and then find out the facts, and I trust impressions, symbols, and metaphors more than the actual experience itself. And then the other one would be, I start with the facts and the details, then form a big picture. I tend to look at the bottom line of issues, and I tend to trust first the experiences and from past experience, and then I rely more on metaphors and symbols. Is there one set of statements you resonated more with than the other?
There must be a little bit on the phone here. It was not, I couldn't hear clearly all of it, but the one thing that did resonate with me was the last part of the first question. So I would go with,
The one that said I trust
that resonated with me.
Metaphors. Yeah.
Sorry,
say
it again.
The one that said I trust impressions, symbols, metaphors more than the actual experience itself, and I that was one of them.
Yes,
the other.
It seems like I tend to do things more from a mental perspective in some ways than the physical experience of it.
Right. So you basically would kind of, you almost see like the possibilities and the various things that could happen. That's actually a lot more interesting than you than necessarily the, like the present moment, right? You're kind of interested in like, oh, the different possibilities and kind of going back and forth from those ideas.
Yeah, I would say that's something that I tend to do.
I was going to read a couple of statements because you were also talking about the Enneagram, and I think you might find that interesting. I was just going to read a couple statements and see if you really resonate with this. And then see if, for example, I'm going to read a couple of statements. I'm just curious if you resonate with these. Many people see me as enigmatic, difficult, and contradictory. However, I'm unique, and I absolutely love that about myself. I tend to spend quite a bit of time imagining scenes and conversations that have not necessarily happened. I tend not to follow rules or go along with the expectations because I put my own special touch on whatever I do. Do some of those things resonate with you?
Definitely, some of them do.
Yeah, or you'd say some do and some don't, or?
Yeah, it's hard because it seems like in different situations, if I think of one situation, I tend to go one way, and if I think of another situation, I might go a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
would you say you're a very creative type? Like a lot of INFJs I know are usually very creative. They have almost like a sixth sense. They almost like pick up on people's emotions and feelings, and are really able to like kind of almost like draw, almost like feel it themselves. Like, do you ever have that type of sensations or feelings when you're meeting people or people you just interact with?
Well, you know, I certainly, if that's what you mean by creative, I'm probably more a feeling creative than I am physically creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
The reason I ask is if you do have the time, I don't know if you're here about the show, about the Enneagram. If you have a chance, take the time to read about the four, the individualist. I think you'd find that very interesting, and it'd be interesting to see if you can really...
The four individualists?
Yeah, the individualist.
Okay,
that's the four.
You.
Well, Okay. I would also just recommend that there are tests, you know, if you are going to recommend the book, Michael, there are tests they could take for every number that, you know, take a short amount of time. And if there's, you know, a few of them that she, a few numbers that she ranks high or gets, you know, high scores in, then maybe she could read several types, not just the one. And that way, if you read just the one, of course, you're going to have some things you relate to, some things you don't that much. But if you don't have anything to compare to, then it's going to be hard to, you know, be definite on whether that's, you know, you or not you, in a sense.
Okay.
Of course.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Look at all the numbers and look at all the types. All right. Well, thanks. Anything else?
No, that's good. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in and have a nice rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
So, yeah, Michael, I was just going to comment based on that call that sometimes it can take a little bit of time to figure it out with people. I mean, I know that a lot of us are a little bit hesitant with some of these answers, and we're not really sure what the answer is. Sometimes we have to think about it for a little bit of time, or some people don't know what their own tendency is when it comes to certain situations. So it's going to take a little bit of time sometimes. I do recommend that she check out, if she is interested, and anybody else who is interested, there are plenty of tests you can find online or books you can find to find out what your personality type is. In my experience, and you can back me up if this is your experience as well. In my experience, a lot of people also misdiagnose themselves. That's the thing. So I do think it's important to have a neutral and experienced person there to look over your answers and see if that they match what, you know, your perception is and their perception is and other people's perception is. Would you second that?
Yes, definitely. Because we tend to sometimes have our own blinders, or sometimes we're in a very, we're going through a life change. So, you know, we might at that moment answer one way, but, you know, in most stages of our life, we'd probably answer the other way. So having someone who's neutral and just who knows about this and can kind of give you an outside perspective is always helpful.
Sure. Right. So I want to bring that to the point that in the energy work, it's the same thing that happens. A lot of times people will come in and they'll tell you, they'll sort of diagnose themselves if you'd like, oh, I have lung cancer or whatever. And, you know, maybe it's something that they're, like I said, self-diagnosed or, you know, they looked online and they have these symptoms. So they say, okay, I have this. And then I'll test for that energetically and there won't be any weakness with the lungs or cancer. And I'll have to look completely elsewhere. And I know that sometimes that happens with the psychology stuff too, where people are pretty insistent that they're a certain type, a certain number, and really they're not that at all. So we have to be aware of that. I would just recommend maybe taking a few different types of tests and then just cross-checking with maybe somebody who you trust and who knows you, and, you know, and see if this, you know, if this matches what they see of you as well, something along those lines.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah. And, take
cool. Great.
And really get descriptions, you know?
Great. Well, we're coming up on another break here. And, if anybody wants to call in, we still have a little bit of time left. It's 1-800-930-2819. We'll take a quick break and be right back to make some more shift happen.
Frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah! Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every first and third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
Hi, this is Phil Free. You're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. You can reach me at whatphil@hotmail.com. That's whatphil@hotmail.com. I'm filling in for Colette today, and I have my brother Michael Deliage on the phone with us. If you want to share one more time your contact info, go ahead.
Yeah, of course. My contact information is m_delage@yahoo.com.
Great. So we were talking over the break. Why don't I just let you take the wheel here?
Yeah. So right at the end of the break, we were talking about talking to someone neutral about it, or trying to get someone's perspective. That there's sometimes people will mislabel themselves because the terms themselves are not misunderstood understood well. Like, for people might say, okay, well, I'm very outgoing, therefore, you know, I must be an extrovert, or I'm shy, so I must be an introvert. And that's actually where I see a lot of people trip themselves up a lot of times, because, again, when you read about it, introvert, extrovert, it's more on how you recharge and get the energy, not on how social or shy you are. And I think that's one area I see people get often tripped up about, or am I actually mislabeling themselves? So actually taking the time to read that and say, okay, this kind of makes sense, I think it'd be really eye-opening for a lot of people.
Sure, and I think a perfect example for me in my life of what you're talking about is the four energy, and which is an introvert when it comes to the letters. And at the same time, a lot of musicians, which is something I am as well, are fours. And so that means there's a lot of performers out there who are fours, who go get up on stage, get into the spotlight, lead singers, lead guitar players, things of that nature. And they can be very social. They could definitely be the life of the party. And even though they're introverts, it doesn't mean that they can't handle the spotlight or can't handle the crowd. And there's a lot of examples, I think, along those lines that, you know, with every letter and every number, where you might think, oh, because this or because they're sensors or because they're thinkers or whatever it might be, that they don't have the ability to do this or that. But you have to look deeper into it. I would suggest to those who are quick to make judgments or quick to think they've figured it out after just hearing one or two statements or maybe studying it for a few hours at most or something like that.
Yeah, no.
What do you say about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, we had the last caller, Jeanette, when you were kind of trying to get sensing intuitive. Again, that's more about how you process information. It doesn't mean that, like, someone that would test as an N picks up on cues more than a sensor. It's more actually about the patterns and, like, getting an impression of things and more like the big picture, while sensors, you know, will pick up on cues more on, like, little, like, differences or on little trends that they notice. So it doesn't mean one actually picks up on cues more than the other. And I think that's important because a lot of times we'll also hear something like that. Oh, well, I've always kind of picked up on people and things like that, so therefore I'm an intuitive. So, well, you may or may not be, but that's not actually the correct criteria. So that's why I say it's worth definitely taking a little bit of time to read about it. It can be really eye-opening.
Right. And so, yeah, I would say the same thing to all listeners. It's like you may think you are one number type or letter type, but I would cross-reference it with other sources, with people that you know at times, people who are knowledgeable about this kind of information. And, you know, perhaps you might be correct, but you may be okay if it's also incorrect. Not to be offended. Sometimes we've had people take tests that we know, and you and I have pretty much seen them as a certain number, and that person will, you know, diagnose themselves as a different number, and we'll look at it. You know, you and I will perhaps say, "Oh, I'm pretty sure that we're correct and they're incorrect." Obviously, we consider their point of view as well, and we, you know, double check, you know, if their opinion matches with the facts and what we know and everything else. And but we do get that disparity sometimes where people think they really insist that they're a certain number or letter type, and from your perception and my perception, they really aren't. You have that experience a lot, I'm sure, right?
Oh yeah, I definitely run into that where people might really think they're from basically their understanding. Oh well, I'm this, but then, you know, I'm always listening. I want to hear what they have to say, of course. But sometimes I do, based on experience and then just lots of people have told me, share their numbers or stories, their letter combinations. I mean, then I, you know, it kind of serves as a compass when you learn all this. So it helps me hone in. Okay, well, actually, in this case, they might be more this. So it definitely helps in that case.
Sure. So, and again, and we've been talking, and, you know, we've been trying to dissect here if somebody is, you know, this letter, that letter, or this number, that number. Same time, for example, let's look at the letters for a second. Let's say that somebody's letters are like ENFP, pretty common. Like, they could be a strong E. They could be a strong N. They could be a strong F, and then let's say the P thing could be very borderline. They could be kind of right in the middle, whether they like to have things planned or whether they like to go with the flow, like, you know, whether they can go either way with it. And so they could be very balanced in their J and P, or any other letter, or maybe they'll have two letters that are very balanced, or three letters that are very balanced, and maybe only one of the four of their original personality traits is very obvious to people now. At the same time, it's that's a good sign of progress in most cases. Sometimes it could be a sign of somebody getting really unhealthy too, because people can deteriorate out of their personality as well. Is that your experience as well?
Yes. When people kind of lose a sense of self and have had a lot of stress for life, they will actually struggle to find, like, what their core strength is. And, yeah, and I actually have a hard time recognizing themselves in terms of, you know, how they make decisions. And, you know, they'll tend to lose a sense of self. And that's definitely true.
Right. And one thing I like in the Enneagram is that there's a sense of verticality in a sense, or vertical growth, if you'd like. It's not just sort of a horizontal look, or even a flat wheel, if you'd like. It's more of a cylinder that rises, if you'd like. And so you can not only look at people's number types, but you can sort of look at their level of healthiness as well. And you can see, and that gives you insight to know that, okay, if somebody's personality type is it changing for better or is it changing for worse? And we're running out of time, but would you confirm or deny that?
Yeah, last thing I'd say, I completely agree. Like, the thing I'd say about the Enneagram, it's not a destination. That's what you are. Like, this is it. It's unchangeable. It's more blueprint to where you can go. So I definitely agree with that.
Great. Well, we're almost out of time, and it's a pleasure to connect with all of you out there in the audience. And thank you to Michael for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely. Thanks, Carter, for producing. And thanks to Janet for calling in, and all the listeners. If you guys want to call in next time, we'll be back next month. I believe it'll be January 2nd, the next Wednesday. And I would like to just conclude by saying that we live in a world where we can create a reality if we know how to do it. And neutrality is the key to manifestation in my experience and my awareness. And when we're neutral to what we want, we can create it. And so create the beautiful reality, leave room for others to do the same, be neutral to all possibilities, and we'll be living a better life before you know it. You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny. I'm Phil Free. See you next time.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The Truth Is Funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.